This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
We have some NFT trigger words.
Yep.
You know, community, utility. Yep. We spoke with AJ about it before. You guys don't benefit or gain anything by doing a, you know, a rug pull that I see so many people doing now, just launching, you know, flaming flamingos or cool digital art pieces and just getting that money. You guys are kind of already established building a true community. And I think it's never been more true. And I've never believed it more. I think you guys are just getting started.
Yeah. I mean, I keep reminding people, like, with the level of economics I was making before NFTs, doing anything short term in NFT land would be the great mistake of my career.
Yeah.
I have so much to lose at this point. I'm way too locked into this now.
Sure.
And so I like that feeling. I know I want to build something sustaining. I've only ever wanted to build something sustaining. People thought I was going to be a fad in 2006 on social media. You know, I remember it vividly, like just the whispers in the backdrop of like, he'll be flaming out in a year. Cause it's a lot. I'm a lot. It's a lot.
For sure.
Get it. I have a lot of sizzle that comes with the way I go. I just am very confident in the stake that I put behind it. And I think there's people that come along that talk big game, and we've seen in sports that end up, you know, not delivering on that. And then occasionally you have somebody coming in and from day one talk a lot of shit and they do back it up. And, you know, it's my intent as an entrepreneur to be that ladder.
How do you think NFTs, we talked about this a lot, especially because I'm trying to work on a project now, but how do you think NFTs will affect tourist destination cities like Las Vegas in the future?
A lot. I mean, I think what we just did with VCon is one of the first and earliest scaled examples. You know, no different than airline points, casino points, all of this is going to the blockchain because it makes sense. Like right now, my MGM points are locked into my MGM.
Yeah.
Long-term, MGM and all their competitors are going to realize making that interoperable is actually better.
Yeah.
Because they become more valuable. If I could take my MGM NFTs that represent the points I've earned by gambling all weekend and turn that into something else, that's like becomes hot. Like I'll come and gamble more.
Sure. Yeah.
For sure.
You know, like coming and just, you know, I get the closed system makes sense.
Yeah.
The open system done right is even more valuable. And I think over time people are going to understand that. And that's going to open up a lot. And I think tourism groups are going to issue NFTs that are incentives for people to come.
Yeah.
I think institutions that put the flag in the ground, like your group and others. I view NFT, which I look at it as the consumer blockchain. And I think the consumer internet, social media, these things come along. And, you know, I think just like everybody has a website and everybody has a social media account, if you're a business, I don't see a world in 15 years where NFT is in a super big structure within companies and they have a plan on the consumer blockchain. And I'm pretty confident that's going to play out.
Yeah, we were so curious on how it's going to work in like the real world, big hospitality cities like Las Vegas. And like you said, how it's going to translate into people wanting to come here more, getting more value.
I mean, think about this, right? Like tables, what about even restaurants within a group, like in a setting that's as big as this? If there's a restaurant that the only way you can get in is to have the NFT.
Yeah.
I mean, we're doing that already in my restaurant group, the VCR group. Sure. We have something called the Flyfish Club. The only way you get in is if you own the NFT. All of a sudden you have people coming here for the weekend, buying the NFT off of somebody on the blockchain just so they can go.
Just to go.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? And then they sell it. Well, guess what? In that scenario, MGM gets 2x royalty.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So instead of paying promoters and other people to get people in, they're making money to get people in. It's pretty profound.
Yeah.
And like you said, you have that focus on that one product now more than you would if you just went to a place, right? Like the dedication for it.
Yeah, and I think in the macro for everybody who's listening, like just go back to how stupid you thought Twitter was in 2007.
Everyone did.
Right?
Yeah.
And I remember I told everybody, I was like, this is going to be huge. This is going to be huge. And they're like, tell me about it. I'm like, people, like you're going to tweet that you're going to the mall.
Right.
And you're going to eat a pizza and you're going to California. And they're like, who gives a shit about that? And I'm like, yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
And at the time that seemed foreign. And what, I mean, you guys are youngsters. When I was saying people are going to buy wine on the internet, people are going to buy wine on the internet. This 1996, 97, 98, people are going to buy wine on the internet. Everybody in my dad's industry was like, who the fuck? And normal people were like, who's going to buy wine on the internet? Why don't you just go to the store? And I was like, everyone's going to buy wine on the internet.
Yeah.
And that's what with NFTs. Right now, it's like, I'm not going to own an NFT.
Sure.
Everyone's going to own an NFT because you're not going to be able to get on a plane without owning the NFT. Because why would you own a QR code
right.
or an email confirmation?
Yeah.
Like, what's a QR code? That has no value for American Airlines to issue. An NFT that has like a collectible thing similar to like a Starbucks mug or you see where I'm going?
Yeah.
Right now, everyone's caught up in Bored Ape and VeeFriends expensive. Think about the mundane being worth $4.
Yeah.
Think about American Airlines for Breast Cancer Awareness Month, going chopping with an artist, down. Chopping it up, getting like a, back in the day, may rest in peace, imagine courting like a Virgil Abloh, who mm-hmm. designs your pink ribbon, you know, airline. Yeah. The whole month of October, every airline ticket that Delta has a Virgil Abloh design, yeah. right? Let's even use a modern person who's alive, but I just want to give Virgil some roses. Ronnie from Kith. Kith yep. collabs with Delta. They make some badass, you know, pink ribbon thing. Maybe every random person gets the hoodie, but then yeah. it's over. Then that was the ticket. I flew to Boston.
Sure.
And sits in my, now it's sitting in my wallet on Apple as a QR code, has no utility. But if it sits as a collectible on the blockchain and somebody offers me $4 for it, I'm like, yeah, fuck it. I don't need that. And like, you see where I'm going?
Sure, yeah. sure.
So go to yep. eBay right now and see everything that's being sold for $5. There's a trillion things.
Yeah. yeah.
A trillion. Yeah, yeah. This ribbon, this, like, people think right now way too much like Jordan rookie card, boarding.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The long tail. The long tail yeah. is why this is going to work. Because, by the way, Delta is making money every time somebody buys that.
Yep,
so, like, this is going to eat up the world in a way that most people don't see it yet.
It's exciting.
You see the example I just showed
yeah,
you?
Yeah, it's going to be
like,
everything.
I was like, wait a minute, that makes sense. But nobody's thinking about $4 NFTs right now.
Right.
Yeah. It's all the gold rush. When they start thinking $4 NFTs, it's the same way that I knew when I wrote Crush It that people were going to have 100,000 followers on YouTube and make $60,000 a year. That seemed crazy in 2006. 2008, yeah. 2010. Now it seems super normal. You're yeah. like, oh, yeah. every teen, like now we think like every teenager's making 50K on TikTok.
yeah, yeah.
That's a bare minimum.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
What do you, where do you think the timeline is for us to get to that?
7, 9, 12.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take some time.
Somewhere in that range.
Yeah. That's my guess. I could be wrong, could be short, could be a little longer, but in a decade, you won't even understand it.
Yeah.
And again, what are we in 2023, 2022, 2012 social.
Right.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I was there in 2006, 2007, but 2012 social, like now social is like oxygen.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
sure.
Like there's yep. not an 11-year-old that even thinks about life
without
the concept of I'm going to have social media accounts.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And it's like important.
Yeah.
That's a very big far cry from 2012.
Yeah.
Let's go around the room real quick. 2012. How old were you?
Shit. I don't know. 2012. That was 10 years ago. So 24.
Right. What were you with social?
I was working in a nightclub, Gary, refilling cranberry juice at yep. one of the popular nightclubs yep. here. And I was on, what was it, Instagram maybe?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instagram and Facebook. That was it.
I just had Instagram. Story.
Trying to get girls.
Yeah.
Of course.
That was it.
And the crazy part was, if I think even further back, the year that Facebook came out was my second year in college when college kids were the only ones allowed yes. on Facebook.
And yep. it was big.
And it was huge. And it was so important that we got to have it. And
it
other
was the coolest
didn't.
Club that yeah. nobody else can get into because if you didn't have a college ID or a college email address, you couldn't get
an account.
And yeah. I think it's crazy that my first Instagram photo, my daughter will laugh at me this one day. My first Instagram photo was my wife, my girlfriend then, my wife now. She's going to think I'm insane that my first Instagram photo on the internet was of my wife. Yeah. And
here's
it was the sepia toned. Like,
here's a fun fact. Go look at Oprah's first Instagram photo.
Ooh.
That's okay. it. Keep going.
All right.
Except that was just a little Easter
egg. That will do. We'll clip it and we'll do
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Question for you.
Yes.
Going back to, we talked to AJ a lot about how you guys started VaynerMedia.
Yes.
Is there a company that you pitched back in the day that didn't work out that you wish you could repitch?
That's a fun question. Yes. The first company, so we got hot in 2011. Finally, people were getting it. And we'd won like 7 or 8 pitches in a row. And then we had Subway.
Mm.
And we had a killer meeting. And when they said they didn't go with us, I was baffled.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Because we were so hot. And I just thought, like, we're going to get everybody now.
Yeah.
And I remember just being stunned. I was like, how did they not see it? I was like, still to this day, we're talking about... 12 years later, I am still shocked that Subway didn't hire us. So yes, that's the one.
They probably regret that tremendously now.
Yeah. I mean, I think
they had some losses along the way.
I think that we would have done really well with them. We were in our, it's funny, Vayner is in a place right now that's very similar. 2011 to 2013 has only been replicated by the last 8 months in the history of VaynerMedia. We're like ripping hot right now, like every single one.
Sure.
And the only other time was then, so much so that I was like delusional and thought we'd win every single pitch
yeah.
and was like, I mean, like utterly shocked. I remember the email. I remember they AJ and Kelly McCarthy, who was my right hand at the time, saying Subway didn't go with us. I was like, what? Like, I was like,
yeah, once you're in the room, it was a given. You're good. Wipe your
given.
Hands. Yeah. Unreal. Subway.
Subway.
There it is.
Wow.
I'm fuck never eating one of those sandwiches.
Yeah, no more. No more.
Jersey Mike's coming tomorrow.
Jersey Mike's. Gotta do it.